All right. Hey, so what we're going to do, we're going to get in our Bibles. Is that okay? Anyone love the Bible, the Word of God? Turn with me, if you would, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I'm trying to go in through in my head. I know because of the order of service, we welcomed the visitors. Welcome. We prayed. Welcome. Right? We opened the altars. Amen. Now we're going to get to God's Word. All right. Acts chapter 4. So where we are here, we're going to jump actually to verse number 13, but let me catch you guys up. Jesus has died, but he resurrected. Amen. And he's now ascended to heaven, where he's at the right hand of the Father. And he's given, now we have the Holy Spirit. He's empowered and equipped his disciples to do what he's called them to do, which is what he's called us to do as disciples of Jesus, as to go and tell the world. Right, and make disciples of others, right? So he gave them the assignment, he gave them the power in which they would be able to do it, and here they are in Acts chapter 4, they've done it. They're preaching the gospel, they're laying hands on the sick, and guess what? The sick are getting healed, amen? Don't you, that still happens today. We lay hands on the sick and they get healed. And so here they are, Acts chapter 4, they're laying hands on some sick people, they are recovering. And the religious folk are a little bit upset. Religious folk always getting upset about something, right? Always, you know, you mess up the agenda, you mess up a certain way. They were not very pleased. So here we are, Acts chapter 4. They've laid hands on somebody, and now they're not sure what to do with these guys, right? Peter, they're telling people about Jesus. People are, and the church is growing, right? We know in the upper room there was what, 100? What was it? 120 in the upper room? Now we're up to 5,000 people. You can read it for yourself there in Acts chapter 4. There's 5,000 people in a city of what some theologians say could be as little as around 25,000 up to maybe 200,000. They tend to lean towards the... So the church of God is growing immensely. Why? Because they're telling people about this Jesus fellow. And then they're laying hands on the sick. They're freeing people. And the word is spreading. The gospel is spreading. And people are believing in Jesus. Well, again, so the religious people, this is kind of upsetting their flow. This is upsetting, and they're getting upset. So here we are in verse number 13. We're going to pick up. Verse number 13. This is out of the NIV. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, come on, they're preaching and telling people about Jesus, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Amen. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Hello. They didn't have the qualifications. They didn't have the degrees on the wall. They didn't go to the right type of classes. But what are you going to do when you see a healed man right there in front of you? They were speechless. Verse number 15. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. So they're like, hey guys, we got to huddle up. What's going on here? This is not supposed to work like this. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. That's what name? In the name of Jesus. Oh, because there must be some power in the name of Jesus. There must be some wonder-working power in the name of Jesus. There must be some religious strongholds that are at risk of breaking down at the name of Jesus. The enemy's huddling up together, figuring out, what are we going to do? We got to keep them from saying the name of Jesus, because there's power in that name. So to stop it from spreading in the Father, we tell them that we can't do it in this name. They called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Somebody laugh. I figured they had to be like, verse number 19. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes? To listen to you or to him? You be the judges. But I love this number 20. I pictured before they could even finish. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Right before your eyes, just right now, moments ago, you saw a miracle. A people that were being drawn in by the Holy Spirit, willing to come up in front of strangers they don't know and make a declaration, leaving a past life behind. That is a miracle. I believe that for many people in this room, there are chains breaking even now, addictions breaking now, things that are on your eyes that have been covered that even throughout the night are going to fall off. A way of life that you came in with an addiction, you're going to leave not the same. There are miracles happening right in front of our eyes. And you can't stop me from saying what I've seen, what I've heard, what I've experienced. Me before you, Antonio. I remember coming into this house brokenhearted, disheveled with my life, in a bout of depression that my religious mind didn't know to call it depression, because I'm a Christian, I can't be depressed, and yet I couldn't focus, I couldn't study, I was depressed. Family friend, Pastor Joel, I go through breaking free, I find restoration, I find hope, I put principles that we see in God's word into practice in my life, and I find myself free, I find myself able to see. That is a miracle, that I was bound to addiction, I was in a dark place, but yet God set me free. I can't help but tell somebody about the goodness of God. And I venture to say that you have something in your life that has been healed, that has been changed. And there is something that, or there's somebody that we can tell about what God has done in your life. Come on, maybe God's not done with you yet, but you're not where you used to be. Come on now. That's a miracle in and of itself. And we can tell somebody about what we've seen. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen or heard. Peter and John, they're unlearned. They were unqualified. Does that sound like anybody in this place today? You go, what are we waiting on? A degree on the wall? An ordination of some sort? Oh, I have to be a member of a church for X amount of months before I can get involved. And maybe if I'm involved for a while, then I can maybe do this. And maybe I can... No, what? You know, we just had a... We got to a... host an amazing conference this past weekend, and you're going to hear about it and hear about it. Why? Because I really believe this, that God shifted the trajectory of this ministry, of this house, and that he breathed in such a way on our house. We'll never be the same. We'll never be the same. We're only going, the Bible says, from where we were to where we're going next. There's a grace on this house. There's a grace and a calling on this church. And if you're a part of this house, that grace is on you. There's an assignment on your life. There are things that you are called to do as part of this house. The message, the awesome things that we experienced wasn't for the pastors or the staff or those attenders of a conference. Maybe you couldn't be there, but you're part of this house. There's an assignment and a thing that we're walking into as a church. Because God places assignments on his people. And so, you know, actually next week we're having Holy Spirit night, and then I'm going to be ministering again, so I'm going to do a part two. So tonight's message, we're talking about spending time with Jesus. And so tonight I want to invite you. Obviously next week Pastor Jessica is going to be here next Sunday night. Make sure that you are here. Bring somebody. And then the week after that, we're going to go into part number two of this, what I'll call a mini-series of spending time with Jesus. See, because we're talking about, obviously we understand that spending time with Jesus, I figure that's something that we got to do, right? But what happens is, like the way that, I don't know about the way I'm set up, I tend to do like things in a list, right? I like to categorize things. That makes sense? Is that anybody tracking with me? Come on, anybody like to, like, all right, this, where do I place this in my mind? Right? And so sometimes things can get overwhelming. We come to church, we hear great messages and sermons, but sometimes if we're not careful, it could just seem like each point just can get heavier and heavier because it just seems like another thing that we got to do. Oh, man. So, I got to read the Bible? Okay. I got to pray. And I got to fast. Oh, man. And I got to sow seed into finances. And now I got to spend time with Jesus. Oh, okay. While this list is getting long, what happens is if we're not careful, we can get bogged down with what looks like a list of to-dos for Jesus. The problem is that's what religion would have us to do. Religion requires us to set up these checklists in our mind for this thing that we're trying to attain, I guess. So let's reverse engineer this a little bit. If we're talking about when I die, I believe I'm going to die, and I believe that there's a heaven and there's a hell, and I most certainly don't want to go to hell, so that means I want to go to heaven. So what do I got to do to go to heaven? Oh, so now here's the list of things that I have to do. But the thing is, that's what religion would say, but we don't do that in any other area of our life, right? Because let's talk about our individual lives. Maybe at the end of your life, what do you want that to look like? Maybe for some of us that might look like, well, I want to have retired, I want to have had a family, maybe some grandkids, whatever that could look like, right? Let's go off of that. But you don't say, okay, so I want some grandkids, so that means I have to have kids, so that means I have to have a wife and someone that will have kids with me, and then I got to get somebody to marry me. So I guess I gotta find somebody. You know, it's in fact it's the opposite, right? You maybe that's not what you're seeking out. You fall in love with somebody. You see someone beautiful before you, and like, oh, okay, that's okay. What do we? Let's hang out. Get to know somebody. Oh, okay, I like this. Like maybe will you be my boyfriend? You know, you wanna, maybe. Or wait, it's all text now, or no, not even. Now you got to get someone to marry. But the thing is, you see, the checklist is not, it's not like, okay, well, I'm just doing this so I can get my grandkids and retire. Right? What happens is you fall in love with somebody. You're getting to know somebody. You're not looking at it as to attain X and Y and Z. The same is with Jesus. The same is, again, that's why we call it relationship, because we're in relationship with Jesus. So out of the abundance of my heart, as I want to get to know Jesus, it's not like I got to spend time with him. I got to pray. I got to read his. It's just like, wait, I want to get to know him. How do I get to know him? I get to know him in his word. And in his word, I things come alive in me. And now I want to spend time with him. And I just want to stay on the phone with Jesus all night because I just am so in love with him. And the thing is it one is fruit of the other, right? But if we're not careful, we kind of do it the other way. We see it as the steps, and there's constantly this tug. Because what's going to happen is you won't feel good enough. Or you won't feel like going to church, or disappointments will happen in your life. Can I tell, I'm not speaking that over you. I'm just, life happens, and there's things that just don't always go the way we want. And then it gets easier, like if you did have a girlfriend that made you upset. They let you down. Now it's like I'm ghosting somebody, right? Like you want to ghost Jesus now because, well, I'm mad at you. Or things didn't go the way I want. And then you feel far. And then you know that you, have you ever heard this? Like, yeah, I know I need to get back to church. I invite so many people like, oh, you should come to my church. Oh, yeah, no, I've been meaning to get back to church. Right? You've heard that before, right? I know I should get back to church. But what are they saying? Something in them is they feel distant from God now. And we feel unworthy, and we feel unqualified, and we feel like I can't do it, and now I'm further and further away. But is it Jesus pushing us away? Is it, oh man, you ghosted me. Is God petty like that? God's not petty. God's not us. Right? Thank God. God's not us. You ghost me, that's it. With God, he's patient, he's loving, and we're gonna see in his word here, because we want to make sure that, again, spending time with him doesn't just become another requirement that we're adding to the list, but rather the fruit of what our heart is trying to say. And Jesus is inviting all of us tonight to spend time with him. He sets the table, but now do we come? I want to walk us through a couple of things that there's a couple of things that get in our way of maybe spending time with Jesus, some challenges that we'll find. Because it's important that we know that we want to learn who Jesus is, and that we're not just going through the steps of getting to know him like as this distant person. My wife, where is she? Oh, there she is. Hi, babe. She was my first, like, real girlfriend. I don't know if I ever told you this story, babe. But, like, I technically probably had a girlfriend before. And I say technically probably because in middle school, I'm kind of taking you on an adventure here, right? I remember there was this girl that, of course, she liked me. And how did it work, right? So it was like, you don't just go up to somebody and tell them you like them, right? What do? You tell their friend, and then their friend tells you. So I remember this girl, you know, we were friends. That's how we were friends, like just friends. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, maybe we have feelings. Well, then one day her friends come up to me and says, hey, she likes you. I'm like, oh, really, she likes you? Well, I like her too. And then it goes back and they're like, well, hey, she wants to know if you would go out with her. We're like, well, but you have to ask her. Like, oh, wait, so but if I asked her she'd go out with me, like, you got to make sure, right? Because I'm not going to actually risk rejection. Oh my gosh, breaking free again. All right, sorry. It's coming out. So all this is like the back and forth, like through the friends, and it's like, well, okay, so wait, what do I have to do? So she said that if you asked her out, she would say yes. Would you be willing to ask her out? Well, I guess. I mean, when? Right? So it's like all this back and forth, and ultimately, like, I remember asking her out, but then I never talked to her again, and then we broke up through friends again. So what am I saying? Sorry, babe, you weren't actually... See, that's not really a real girlfriend, right? You were still my first... You're still my... Anyways, what am I saying through this embarrassing story? Is that... So, Jesus, right, is not this thing or person or, you know, just like ethereal concept that we kind of go through motions for. He's a person that we talk to, that we actually get to know. The problem is, too many of us know about Jesus through Jesus followers. Or, you know, the podcast we listen to, or the TikTok clip that, hey, made me feel good, or, you know, the preacher or pastor that I know. And I'm glad that you have positive, inspirational people in your life. But the problem is we can't live our relationship with Jesus vicariously through someone else. Right, we can't live through this, like, hey, tell Jesus, ask him if he loves me. Hey, you think he does? Oh, I ghosted him. Oh, go check for me. Right? But too many times can we be honest in church? Too many times we're kind of living like that. We're kind of like, you know, because I don't actually want to all the way get to know him, because I think it's because if he got to know me, would he actually really, that's what I was afraid of. Right? Like, you know, I don't want to get embarrassed. But, like, because if he really got to know me, I don't know. I feel like maybe he'd reject me. So, like, I'll know of him. I'll talk about him. And you say he loves me, I'll trust. Okay, cool, he loves me. But we don't take the actual time to spend real time with Jesus. Because the reality is that you actually have to do it. You have to spend time with Jesus. I want to take you to scripture here, Psalm 91. Psalm 91. And I want to let you know this. This is something that we're all, it's called a walk with Jesus for a reason. It's called, you know, now in recent times we've heard like, oh, I'm on my journey, right? We're kind of on this journey. We're on this walk with Jesus because we have to walk this out. And in our walk with Jesus, we'll find that there are seasons and times where maybe, you know, maybe it's a run. Maybe you're in stride with Jesus, like, oh my gosh, I can't get enough. I'm at church 4 or 5 times a week. I started Bible college. I'm witnessing to people. I got back. I mean, things are just going great, and that's awesome. We love to see people, what we would call in Christianese, on fire for the Lord, right? Just can't get enough of Jesus. I'm so in love with Jesus. Jesus loves me. Come on, we got some on fire people in the house tonight. I love it. That's awesome. And And I'm not saying that it's going to end, but I'm saying there are times where you see changes in seasons, because for whatever reason, again, that disappointment, or maybe, you know, you go from a time where you didn't have as many commitments or obligations, or maybe you found it simpler to spend time with Jesus, to now you're starting school or a different job, or there was a change in your schedule that is kind of, oh shoot, it's not as simple for me anymore, and I have to work a little bit harder. I might have to wake up a little bit earlier. I might, you know, having a child changes these things. And I've found myself like, oh man, if I want to spend time with Jesus, I got to wake up early. But then I started waking up earlier, and then I started waking up earlier. So I'm like, what the heck? Like, what? They're waking up. I want some time with Jesus. Leave me alone, kids, right? Like, but then I got to wake up even earlier. Then I got, and pretty soon we'll be Pastor Joel waking up at 3:30 just to get out of the house, right? To spend time with Jesus. It's dark. But the changes in seasons in our life that require different things, the point I'm trying to make, see, because this is what you can't do. You can't compare someone else's season and time with Jesus and put it on you. Can I tell you how I know that? Because I've done that for too long. I remember one, you know, Pastor Joel has been a mentor in my life. He's like, oh yeah, up at 4, up at 5. He used to come here to the church, and we'd come, and I felt like the disciples, because he'd like come here and I'd fall asleep, you know, trying to pray. I'm praying. Right? But you can't take someone else's, because there's no, I'm not giving any formulas tonight on what you need to do to spend time with Jesus. Because I can't tell you the formula of how to make it happen, but we have to make it happen. Is that okay? Sorry, Psalm 91, Psalm 91, whoa, Jesus. Psalm 91, 1 and 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. So there's this, again, a lot of, sometimes you don't realize you're speaking a native tongue until you talk to some people that don't speak Christianese, right? But like, you know, the secret place, guys, let's press in. Press in, secret place, you know, these are some Christianese terms, right? But so what am I saying? We're pressing in, we want to pray, we want to get into a place. So when we see in this psalm here that he who dwells in the secret, he who spends time with the Lord, he who can make a place to meet up with Jesus. Come on, you made a place to meet up with your boyfriend, girlfriend. Come on, you made it happen. You had your spot. You made sure that there was a place that, you know, you set a set of time. You set a schedule, a way to get with the one that you love or with the thing that you want to do. Maybe your love right now is the gym. I'm going to get my gym time in. I'm either going to go late, I'm going to go early, I'm going to make it happen. He who dwells at the gym will get large, right? Or fit. But he who dwells in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What does that mean? We are covered. In spending time with Jesus and getting alone with Jesus, there is coverage. You know, there was recently fires. And I would come out from the fires overnight. I live in Highland, so I was kind of close to where it started. Those first couple of days were rough. And there were some days the air was really bad, and there was soot and ash all over the car. I'll tell you right now, I don't have an organized garage, so I'm not a garage parker. Any garage parkers in the place? God bless you. That's a surprise to me, Pastor Brian, that you are a garage parker. I'm not a garage parker. So there's ash on my car. See, if you put your car in the secret place called a garage, there's coverage there, right? There's coverage. What am I saying? That we can find that when we are spending time with the Lord, what did we see with Peter and John? They're unqualified. They're people that didn't do all the right steps, yet they could tell that they were with Jesus. There was a marking on them. There was something distinct about them. Let your secret time or your private time, alone time with Jesus, mark you. Come on. Let it make you distinct. Where everyone else gets the worries of the world dumped on them and the ash of the world dumped on them, and you come out covered. Come on now. All the chisme at work, all the drama that's going on, it's all dumping on them, and oh man, there's going to be hell to pay for this. I can't believe heads have to roll, and yet you come in like, what? What's going on? I'm covered. I'm good. I've been praying. I've been with Jesus. You can't bring me down. But yet everyone else is all built up, all stressed out. Why are you anxiety free? I've been with Jesus. I spent time with Jesus today. I have found that on these days and times and moments that I set aside this intentional time to get alone with Jesus, I'm less irritable. I am more able to focus. I am not as easily knocked off of, you know, you kind of get in the groove, right? Yet things happen. Yet kids spill on me, or there's messes that happen, or traffic on the freeway. But instead of getting so stressed out, I'm I've been with Jesus. I've spent time with him. What time with Jesus is not, is this thing that you check off that you just go get done. I've approached it that way. But I remember feeling this weight like, all right, I got to go pray, and I got to go get it done. And then I'm with Jesus, I'm like, God, what am I getting done? What is it? You know, I was like, I don't know, but someone told me I have to spend time with you. So did I do it? I woke up. I'm here early. I'm tired. I have my Bible open. All right, go ahead. Am I doing it right? Or is this like this? You know? Oh, like this? What am I supposed to do? I have to get it done. Right, can we be real? Because I don't know how to do it. Is that the right way? Is there a wrong way? I told you I'm not giving you a formula, but I will tell you. You find a way to hang out with the ones you love. you find a way to start a conversation with your loved one, with the person you're trying to win over. Right? You know, the wooing action doesn't come hard. Or maybe it does. I mean, for me, I can't empathize, guys. Come on, this was easy for me. Right, babe? Some things you just got. No, just come on. I'm kidding, guys. Come on. Like, you know, that guy. Let me share another scripture with you. Psalm 105. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. While there's not a formula, I could tell you, seek him. Go after the Lord. There's not magic words, but set your heart on wanting to get to know the Lord. Maybe it is opening your Bible and just starting in the Psalms, something that makes sense to you. And Holy Spirit, what am I reading? What are you saying? Or just kind of going about your day. I love the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer has been so helpful to me. As I read the Lord's Prayer, it kind of starts, and then other prayers kind of jump and bounce off of that. I start, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and just go through the Lord's Prayer, and then the next thing you know, it's kind of like prayers go. And then what maybe I spent 5 minutes one day, the next day is 10, or the next week is 10, the next week is 15, and you just start to grow, and you're craving this time with Jesus. Chris, if you could come out. My son is at a new school, and he talked to me, one of his teachers. I'm like, hey, what's your favorite class? It's an English class. Why do you like your English class? She lets us do homework in class. Oh, she lets us do homework in class. I was just like, it's just the easiest way. But this is what we're going to do tonight. I want you to do your homework in class tonight. We talk about spending time with Jesus. We're going to spend some extra time with Jesus. That's what I mean. And we want to create some space for you to intentionally find a way to set aside time to get with Jesus. But I want to show you one more thing before we do that. Luke chapter 10. You've heard the story of Martha and Mary before. Chapter 10, verse number 38. Now it happened, as they went and entered a certain village, Jesus and his disciples is talking about, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had her sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him talking about Jesus, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen to do a good part, which will not be taken away from her. See, Mary was at the feet of Jesus. Jesus was sitting down like the rabbis would, and there Mary was at his feet. The term at his feet meaning she was literally sitting, taking in the teaching of Jesus. And so Martha, I highlighted that term there, was distracted with many things. See, we have a lot of distractions in our life. And our distractions are often a lot louder than anything Jesus might be trying to tell us. If you notice, everyone's selling you something. Every ad on Instagram, they're selling you something. But really what they're actually offering is a lie. And I'm not saying everything's bad. See, but they're saying if you buy this thing, you'll have peace. If you buy this thing or go to this thing, you'll have entertainment, so you'll have joy, so you'll have peace. You'll have hope. If you do this, if you subscribe to this, you actually might get to enjoy this, and so you can have this. Right? It's all selling you the promise of something. And those loud voices become distractions that pull us from Jesus saying, I will give you peace. Bring your burdens to me. Now, nothing's wrong with, you know, some of the things you buy. I'm not saying everything's a lie. Don't buy anything, right? That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying don't let the voices be so distracting. And don't let yourself be so bombarded trying to attain things and buy things that really it's empty. Because what happens? You buy them and they don't deliver. It's not delivering the peace that you thought. And, oh man, I smelled better and she still didn't call me back. That was expensive cologne. What the heck? Right? So these distractions get so loud that we can't even really put our attention with Jesus. So one point that I have for you tonight, like I said, this is part one, but one point. I'm going to leave you one point. Spending time with Jesus requires that you start somewhere. That you start somewhere. The financial education space is a multi-billion dollar industry. Meaning, you know, courses, you've seen ads for courses. Take this course and it's going to teach you how to do this and you're going to make money. Or if you do this or sign up for this class or if you do this and if you are able to do this, it's going to make you do this. But what happens? You know, in investing, there's this term called analysis paralysis. Meaning you analyze deals so much and you do all the research and, hey, this is a lot of money, so I got to make sure. Or maybe you're into crypto or into stock and I got to analyze this, make sure this is right. Do the numbers line up? That you've analyzed so much that you literally get paralyzed and you're not doing anything. I would venture to say similar things happen in our walk with Jesus. Where they told me I got to learn how to pray. So I read a book on praying. I looked for podcasts on praying. I was looking for all the sermons on praying and even Googled scriptures about prayer. And I'm so analyzed all these things that I didn't start praying though. I did everything but pray. I did everything but read the word. I did everything but the thing I was trying to do. I was just having this conversation with Pastor Dan. I was so blessed by Pastor Frank's message to the men. Any men that got to go to his session? He was talking about the persistence. Well, that was the weekend was talking about persistence. But in the morning, he talked about that alone time with Jesus and that we have to fight for that time. And I was like, man, I was confessing to him, like, oh, man, I can so overanalyze these things. And so I'm talking to myself, guys. I'm there with you battling this idea of I have to attain or get to this level of place, but I did everything but start. So tonight the homework is get started. Spend time with Jesus by getting started. Maybe identify some of the things that are easy distractions for you, but make a plan and work that plan, as Pastor Jim used to say. Maybe you know you're a night owl. I'm going to spend time with Jesus tonight. the last thing I do. I know the first thing, I don't allow myself to go on any apps or anything, but I have to read my Bible first. Some people put their phone on the other side of the room, just use a digital alarm, something else, so that they don't go on their phone for the first hour of the day, so they can make sure that they've read their Bible, maybe done some journaling. Figure out what works for you, but make that plan and work that plan. Start somewhere in spending time with Jesus. It's the difference between knowing Jesus and knowing of Jesus. It's the difference between what we saw in Acts, that unqualified, the last person I'd expect, but wow, they took note that these men, that this woman has been with Jesus. There's something different about this person. And we're talking about the inland empire shall be saved. We're talking about the words that have gone forth about this house, this church. And that's not going to happen because we sit on our hands. That's not going to happen outside of encounters with Jesus. You can't share enough clips and TikToks with people to get someone saved. It's what happens in the secret place. It's what happens in those moments with Jesus that will change your life. So tonight, this is what we're going to do. I think Miss Teva is going to come out and we're going to sing. And I want to invite you, we'll lower these lights. I want to open the altar and allow this to be your homework in class. And set aside, we have some time here. We'll take a few moments where you can get started. Spend some time with Jesus. Cry out to him. Call out to him. Bring your burdens to these altars. And watch as the miracles happen right before your eyes. I want to say a prayer. There's a couple of things that the Lord gave me. A couple specific things. And I want you to come to this altar, especially if this is you. I wrote it down like this, that you have found yourself riddled with insecurity. Insecurity about your place with Jesus. Insecurity about your place in life. Maybe it's your looks. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your finances. But more specifically about your place with God. You don't feel like you're worthy of Jesus. And the other one, you cannot find peace. And that lack of peace spills into other areas. And in fact, has made you an angry person. You've always considered yourself a happy person, but the lack of peace in your life has just spilled over into other areas, and you have not been able to find peace, and now you find yourself angry. And you've cried out to God. Tonight, let's spend some time with Jesus in his house amongst other believers, brothers and sisters in the Lord. So again, I want to invite you up. You can stand up. As we worship, you can come forward. But if that's you, let's spend some time with the Lord.
And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, Jesus. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, Jesus. is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt, this is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, Jesus. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, Jesus. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, Jesus.
Father, I thank you, Jesus, for that in your presence there is liberty, Lord God. There's freedom, Jesus. Here we are in your house, in your presence, Lord God. We thank you for that liberty, that freedom, Jesus. I pray for those who are struggling to find their place in you, Lord God. Maybe feel unloved, feel lost. And I just pray, Lord God, that they would see how loved that they are. And how you see them, Lord God. I would pray for a peace for anyone lacking peace, Jesus. Like your word says, that they would have a peace that surpasses understanding in Christ Jesus. That you would just indwell them with your peace, that you would bring rest to them, Lord God. That you would bring sleep to those struggling to sleep. Lift up, Lord God, eating disorders, Lord God. Jesus, that anyone struggling with an eating disorder, that they would be healed. That they are no longer bound, Lord God, but that you are a breaker of chains, Jesus. That they would see themselves as you see them, as whole, as complete, as wonderfully made, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. That the Lord is saying that there's someone struggling with their uncertainty, with decisions that they have to make. They feel challenged and a weight at those decisions. They feel insecure if they can make the right call. Holy Spirit, give them the wisdom, the courage, confirm within their heart, Lord, the decisions that they are to make. Thank you, Jesus. Those believing for loved ones that feel so weighed down with even, it's gone to a point of fear, that there's so much fear for their loved one's salvation. I just feel like the Lord is saying to trust in his goodness and patience and long suffering.
Good job. What a worthy practice. What a worthy reminder. Spending time with Jesus. Wow, let's give the Lord a hand for that word. Awesome. How many are ready to give tonight? Ready to give? We have a confession. It's going to come up on the wall. I want everybody to stand. And we're going to repeat this. And we're going to believe this. And we're going to declare this for from everything in us, because this is a declaration of faith. All these statements are declaration of faith. Pastor, I don't know. I'm struggling financially. I don't know. I need a new job. Declaration of faith. I don't know how I'm going to make it next week. It's a declaration of faith. I don't know what's going to happen in a few years. It's a declaration of faith. When we believe these things, because it's tied to Scripture, every one of these things. When we believe them, we declare them, we will have them in the name of the Lord. So let's follow after me, say this. As we give in today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritance, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, bills decreased, blessings and increase, generosity, increased capacity, new skills, witty invention and ideas, wise investments. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs. Your word says you are able to make all grace abound towards me, that I have all sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work. I now give into the kingdom of God to promote the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, hallelujah. Awesome. As you're preparing your tithes and offerings, if you're here tonight to have a physical offering, you could raise your hand and our ushers are standing right by and hand you an envelope. If not, there's many, many ways to give that we make it easy for you to give. Tap to give, online giving, text to give. All these things are available for you at any time of the day. I've actually been out of the country and I log into our app and God reminds me, or there's a reminder sent on the app. Hey, give. You got to give. So we make it easy for you to give. Let me bless your offering online, on campus, all over. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the generous givers of the rock, those tithes and offerings that sow into the house to build your kingdom. We're not building kingdom for men. We're building it for you. We're spreading the gospel wherever we can throughout all the nations. We're doing things on campus, all over this community. Father God, the food, the clothes that people come that have no idea how it arrived, but we know because we've sowed seed and it produces abundant harvest. And I'm praying, Father, for a harvest on every giver tonight. Those that you've given all weekend, bless them. Let not their heart be troubled. Let them not be worried. As they do, Father, what they know they need to do and obedient to you, that you will show up in beautiful ways as they spend time with you, as we heard tonight. As we spend time and we spend our energy, time and resource and sowing into your kingdom, we will be blessed with an abundant harvest. And we declare this and believe this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Awesome, awesome. I have two announcements, only two announcements. Pastor Antonio kind of briefly mentioned it. Next Sunday night, Holy Spirit night here on campus, next Sunday night, Pastor Jessica is going to be imparting more revelation of teaching us of what the Holy Spirit's about. Holy Spirit is deep and profound. If you want to touch from the Holy Spirit, you want to get a hold of the Holy Spirit, Pastor Jessica is going to be on this platform next Sunday night. You don't want to miss the move of God. Move of God. He shows up in supernatural ways and does beautiful things like he was doing at the altar tonight. Very, very amazing things, move of God. Also, we are upgrading our dormant well and digging a new well. And I understand the worship team is spring up a well. They're going to be worshiping, spring up a well. There's a new well that's going to be dug because of your generosity, because of your tithes and offerings. We are you know, purposed in our heart to redig a well that's been dormant because we want to depend on God's water, not man's water. God's water is deep underground, and for that to happen, we have to drill. But for that to happen, we have some inconveniences of some gate closures, and there's a map here, and we're going to be announcing how to get into campus and get off campus and make it easy for you. Okay, so your tithes and offerings are hard at work, trimming trees, getting the lawn cut, and having this place immaculate for you, for your children, for your youth. Why? We do this intentional because we're putting the tithes and offerings hard to work on campus and blessing us, because we believe taking care of God's house is what we need to do. And that's why we make reinvestments in the campus continually. There's a lot more to do, and you'll see that as time goes on. Also, we have a video. If you're dealing with hurts, hang-ups, or any habits, breaking free needs to happen for you. It starts next weekend. Check out this video of Caesar, who broke free from all these things and is now free, a free man of God. It's for you. Listen to this video. God bless you.
My name is Cesar Roldan. When we first came to the Rock Church, we were broken. We had some pain, some hurt, and some unforgiveness. And Pastor Dad did say something that stuck with us, that helped us to get to where we're at today. And that was that every hurt, every pain, anger, or unforgiveness, it's like a church bell. And we hold our rope. And every time we hurt, every time we remember those instances, it's like pulling the rope and the bell just rings and rings and rings. And he told us, you got to let go of the rope. But we didn't know how, until we actually joined Breaking Free. Through the ministry of Breaking Free, there's accountability, and there's the Holy Spirit moves mightily and powerfully to be able to get to that point of feeling free, feeling released, that weight off your shoulders. We were able to find that peace, and the peace that surpasses all understanding.
Well, I know we already had an invitation, but I want to do another one. Because I believe that there's more people in this place who have yet to put their faith, hope, trust in Jesus. And we're greedy like that. We want to see health empty and heaven full. And so the only way we can, or one of the ways that we do that, is by telling the truth. And telling you guys the truth in love. See, because God forbid you leave this place and your heart stop. And you're gone. You're dead. Thing is, if that happened, you would spend your eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. We will all live an eternal life. The question becomes for you is where you will spend that eternity. Now you might ask, or you might assume that you would spend your eternity in heaven because, hey, you've been around church and you know the Christianese language of, well, yeah, I mean, I'd go to heaven because, well, I mean, I wouldn't go to hell. Like, as if you can think your way. The thing is, nowhere in the Word of God do we find that you can think your way into heaven. In fact, you know, we saw these children being dedicated, which is an amazing thing, a beautiful thing. But those children will come of an age where they have to decide for themselves if they are going to decide to follow Jesus. Just like each of one of you in this place must decide if you will follow Jesus. So whether you were baptized, Christian, dedicated as a child, you have to decide to put your faith in Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I'm a pretty good person, Pastor. I my goods outweigh my bads. You know, I might mess up every now and then, but who doesn't? Do you know that the Bible says that our good works, the good things that we do, the positive things, are filthy rags to the goodness of God? In other words, there's nothing that we can do. There's no good amount of things that we can do that would ever qualify us. And this is where the good news comes in. That sounds like a lot of like heaviness, right? But what is required for us to be worthy, we couldn't do, but Jesus did. See, Jesus paid the price that it takes. But for you and I to spend eternity with Him, we must put our faith in Him. In the book of John, chapter 3, there's this man by the name of Nicodemus. He was a religious leader. If you're talking about some of these checklist things, right? He did all the right things. He followed all the right laws and rules. He gave to the poor. All the things that we would assume would get us into heaven. He comes up to Jesus and says, "What must I do to go to heaven?" Essentially. Now, again, in our minds, man, he did all the right things. He was a good guy. Naturally, he's going to heaven, right? Jesus says you must be born again. In other words, none of your good works, none of your qualifications are getting you into heaven. You must be born again. What is born again, besides a funny-sounding term? What it's always meant in the Bible, throughout the Bible, is that we give Jesus Christ our life. We make Him the Lord. He is the boss. We don't live life according to what we think is right, to our truth. You know, we don't get to cherry pick and choose some of these great concepts. Oh, I love and I respect Jesus as a thought leader. He has some great concepts about how to treat people and how to do this. But I also like, you know, these teachings from over here and these teachings from over here. And this doesn't seem to harm anybody. So I'm going to kind of pick and choose and customize this way that I've deemed. Can I love you enough to tell you that is a bunch of baloney? That is not making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. That is you being your Lord. You're the boss of your life that way. There is a surrender that must take place. Jesus offers the life that He gives. He asks us to give Him His life. And really entrust, because what He has for us is much better. Jesus is not trying to trick us. This is not spiritual manipulation that He's trying to do. He wants to offer us, but we must put our faith in Him. So tonight, the invitation to you all, to all of you, I'll say it again, to everyone. This invitation is to everybody. You have the opportunity to put your faith in Jesus. You can't say you didn't hear. You can't say you didn't know. Jesus is inviting you into eternal life with Him as a follower of Jesus Christ, as an opportunity to have life and life more abundantly, as we see in His Word. But this is what you must do. You must make the decision to reject your way, to reject the lies, and accept the truth. So tonight, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, clap my hands just like that. When you hear that sound, what I want you to do is get your hand up. By getting your hand up, you are identifying that you need Jesus. Not I need Jesus. You need Jesus. We've all fallen short. We've all sinned. is what we are all deserving of. But again, his blood paid the price. That is the gospel. The gospel means good news. The good news is you don't have to get what you deserve. I am not going to get what I deserve. But Jesus is giving life. Tonight, I invite you into life. You ready to get your hand up? One, you know I'm talking to you. You know I'm talking to you because your heart's beating fast. You wish I would just shut up. You wish I would just dismiss. Hey, you already did this. Why don't you let us go? I'm talking to you. We love you. And this is the truth for you tonight. Before you is life and death. Choose life. Two, maybe you've done this before, but you've been doing life your way. You've been running from God instead of to him. Three, let me see your hands tonight. I see that hand. I see that hand. You already raised your hand, my brother. You came up already, right? Amen. Amen. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else in this place tonight? I'm talking to you. I think that was three or four. Anybody else in this place? Come on, this is good. This is good news. Sorry, I know I'm looking so serious. I can't see, but I'm excited. Anybody else? I see a hand. Any other hands tonight? Anyone else making that decision tonight to follow Jesus? This is what we're going to do. I know we're running long on time. I want to invite everybody to stand up. If you raise your hand, I want to invite you to be so brave, to be so bold as to come forward. We want to pray with you. We want to welcome you. Come on, let's cheer them on as they come forward. Come on, you have made the best decision of your life tonight. Come on forward. Come on forward. We're cheering you on. And say, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know you should have. Come on forward tonight. Come on. Anybody else? I saw some children raise your hand. If your children raise your hand, bring them on up. Bring them on up. Come on now. This is what we're going to do. We're going to pray. For those of you who didn't come forward, I know I think there was a couple more children. I want you to all pray this prayer after me. All right? Everyone's going to repeat this prayer. But I want you guys to make sure that, come on, you are believing this. The old life, God is doing something new in your life. All right? What's your name, man? Justin? Jesse, nice to meet you. And your name? Marisol, nice to meet you guys. Awesome. Wow. All right, we're going to pray this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I come to you tonight as a sinner in need of a Savior. And I declare, Jesus, that you are Lord and you are my Savior. Wash away my sins. Make me new and make me whole. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away, and I am forever changed. There is no turning back. I decide that I will follow you all the days of my life. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and empower me to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you guys. Again, this is Pastor Joel. I also want to invite you Friday night, and really any young adults, Friday night, 7 o'clock, get back to the youth auditorium. God bless you guys. Congratulations. Hey, while you're standing, we're going to pray to dismiss. Oh, come on. Hey, there's some more of you that need to get up here, though. All right, hey, there's going to be some prayer teams up here. And if that's you, if that's you, just come see some of the prayer teams. There's some of the things that we got to pray for tonight. If you want some extra prayer, they're equipped to help you out with that, all right? God is just so good. Let's spend some time with Jesus. You just start somewhere. No formula? Well, the pastor does it this way. I didn't tell you how I do it because there's just start. Spend some time with Jesus, all right? Heavenly Father, we come before you, Jesus. These are your saints. These are your people called by your name, Lord God. We bless them in their coming. Bless them in their going, Lord God. I pray that you go before them, Jesus, that whatever they put their hands to, it would prosper in Jesus' name. Lord God, we say with a great big shout of faith about the Inland Empire, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. A spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.